Wow. Dakota, thank you for preaching. All right now. Oh, well, I haven't been here in so long. This is the longest period of time since the ministry began that I haven't been here. It's been 3 months since I've seen you all. And so since I haven't been on the stage and been with my sisters and brothers, I got to do a couple of my old standards just to get myself in the groove and put myself back in place. First of all, let me tell you how wonderful, wonderful, wonderful it is to be here. 3 months ago, and I'll get to my standards in a second, but when I was here 3 months ago, it was right before we came out on stage that Paul just said to me, by the way, I'm retiring and I'm leaving. Really quickly, he told me. And I got on stage and my mind was like, oh, this isn't going to happen. I don't believe this. So in the meantime, you all have been, I understand, getting some assistance in making the transition. We all know that change is the one constant. We also know that change sometimes can take us by surprise and take a little while for us to adjust to it. I laughed with Paul on the phone because I said, it didn't matter that you told me that you were retiring, and it didn't matter that I talked to Britt, and it didn't matter that I talked to someone on the board. I just simply refused to believe that you were going to actually be going. And I said, which is exactly what some of my people at Hope Church did when I told them I was retiring like 8 years ago. They simply refused to believe me, which I thought was a little crazy. So I guess I was a little crazy when the shoe was on the other foot with Paul. But I am so grateful to be here. And the main thing I'm grateful about is that Unity of New York still wants me to be here. I am so grateful. I'm so grateful because one never knows. One never knows. So once I was getting clearer, oh, Paul is actually leaving, the first question that I guess someone asked me, well, will you still be there? And I went, I don't really know. I hope so. So I'm standing here as the living proof that Unity of New York wanted me and I wanted to be here. And so that's my big hooray, my big hooray. So grateful for that. And one of my old standards, of course, is to let you know what you already know, which is that God is in heaven and heaven is in you. And holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear and there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free, and so it is. I'll do it twice more. God is in heaven, and heaven is in you, brother, and holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear, and there's nothing and no one to blame. You have been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free, and so it is. God is in heaven, and heaven is in you. And holy is your name. God wants you all to know you have nothing to fear, and there's nothing and no one to blame. You have been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is. If you have ever been confused by life, if you have forgotten ever the truth of what was just stated, if you have ever forgotten that God is in heaven and heaven is in you, if you have ever forgotten holy is your name. The metaphysical interpretation of the word name is nature. If you have ever once forgotten that your very nature is holiness itself, if you have ever forgotten that there really is nothing and no one to blame, if you've ever forgotten that your captivity is over, if you've ever been down, if you've ever felt lost, if you've ever felt abandoned by someone you love or by a field of people whom you love, if you've ever felt like you might not make it through the dark night of the soul, whether that was a challenge with your body's health or the health of someone you care about, whether it was something to do with finances or something to do with relationships, whether it was something that appeared to be confusion even in your spiritual organization, in where you go to find your blessing and your peace. If you've had any moment of any of these experiences, would you please raise your left hand and keep it in the air? And please, I ask you to look around the room just to see if anyone in this sanctuary has gone untouched by the experience that I have just described. You will notice, if you see as clearly as I can see, that every single left hand in this sanctuary is up, meaning that every human being, every divine child of God going through the human experience has been visited by fear, visited by confusion, visited by anger, visited by grieving, visited by confusion. It's the way it is. It goes with life on planet Earth. You were told that before you chose to be born, and still you volunteered for this great experiment called the Master Plan. They warned you it would not be easy. They told you how much hurt and how confusing confusion is. They told you how depressing depression feels, and still you said, "I'll go, send me." If you have ever moved through the dark night of the soul, if you've ever gotten up off your knees, if you've ever let yourself off the hook or someone else that you had by the throat off the hook, if you've ever had clarity return to your mind and love return again to your heart, spilling over like a cup running over, raise your right hand. Please, if you have dropped the left, put it back up. This hand is very important. For this hand. This hand lets us know that sometimes, yea, I go through the valley of the shadow. This hand has let me know that what God has done before, God is doing right now and is certain to do throughout time and space. I may get down, but I will get up. I may get lost, but I will get found. Look around the room again. We are the living example of the resurrecting power of Almighty God, who has lifted us up more times than we can even remember, more times than any of us can count. So this is the posture of the children of God giving praise for I was dead, and now I live again. Give yourself a hand clap. Give yourself a hand clap for sticking with it. Give yourself a hand clap, because no matter what has appeared to come against you, no matter what has appeared to come to take you down and keep you down, no matter what has entered into your field of experience that appears to be designed to put you on hold, you rascal, you just keep putting one foot in front of another foot in front of another foot in front of another foot. You just keep marching, even through the valley of the shadow, don't you? As long as we have breath, as long as we have a heartbeat, we have an opportunity to choose and choose again, to live fearlessly. You don't have to look outside of yourself for an example of the mighty power of God. You're that evidence. Some of us like to read the autobiographical experiences of other people, people who we feel like are really doing it, really go-getters, really movers and shakers. And we read these autobiographies and we have so much love and adoration and looking up to these people for what they have done. We need to periodically close someone else's autobiography and look into the mirror and say, look what I have done. Maybe I didn't discover a cure for a disease. That's okay. I have been moving through a gradual, ongoing process of removing the dis-ease from my own heart. Maybe I didn't start a new school or give a bunch of money to a college fund. But every time I don't feel like it especially, and get up and get out the door and serve someone, then I have in my autobiography the story of someone who just won't give up. The last time I was here 3 months ago, my talk title was Onward and Upward, and I reminded you all of what I remind Carlos of, and that is that I will always go onward. That's God's territory. My going onward is guaranteed. I have gone onward even when I didn't want to go onward. I have gone onward on days where I went to sleep going, wouldn't it be great not to wake up? But for some reason, my eyes opened, my heart was still beating, and breath was still in my lungs. And even when I didn't feel like it, I threw my feet over the side of the bed, got this rascal up, and got him moving. And I proved to him that the way he would be able to influence how he went out into the day, that's my job. God has got me up, and I will move onward, but it's up to me as to whether or not I will move onward and upward or onward and downward. This is a major change that has happened in this congregation. Paul, 15 years ago, or almost 16 years ago, with Britt and a couple of other people, founded this ministry. This is a big change. When Paul decided to retire, and Paul is now already in California, I understand, and has already Facebooked somebody a photograph of him sitting out by a swimming pool. He's where he wants to be. You know, I had to check with Paul when I heard he was retiring. I had to check. I'm his big brother. He is my kid brother. Me and him been at this thing for 30-some years. So I had to call him up and say, I need to know that you're okay with what's going on. I want to know that you actually just did decide to retire. I want to make sure you didn't get kicked out. I want to make sure nobody hurt your feelings. I want to make sure that nobody stomped on you. I want to make sure that nothing is going on that's going to have me have to get in my car, go to Manhattan, and roll my sleeves up. And he assured me, brother, this is God doing this. I'm tired of the cold. And I'm as clear as you were when you left New York City, that New York City is a place that's fun to live when you're rich. But when you're scraping, that's why I'm telling you, I got 6 bedrooms and a big house with some land for less money than I was paying for a studio apartment. But anyway, Paul is where he wants to be. I had to be sure he was happy. I got so many phone calls and so many emails from all these messages coming from people from Unity of New York, and I just turned to the people in the household and I said, I don't intend to answer any of these calls because I don't know what's going on yet. When I'm clear, I'll talk to people, but I don't need people asking me questions that I don't know the answer to. In fact, I was scheduled to be here last December, and I actually canceled out of speaking. Because there was several reasons, but one of them was I could not imagine being here without Paul here, without Britt here, I found out, hardly anybody else on the staff is going to be here. I can't imagine being in a hug line at Unity of New York having somebody ask me the question, are you still with us? And I would go, I hope so, I don't know. So anyway, that was a big, bold thing that I did, something that I've never really practiced doing before, which was feeling like if I'm going to be in a situation that I think might be crazy-making for me, it is best not to be in that situation. Because crazy-making for me shares crazy-making with other people. So right now is when I'm supposed to be here. And carry on from my last message. If it is true that I will always go onward, but it is up to me to decide whether I will go onward and upward or onward and downward, this is the choice facing Unity of New York right now. We will go onward. We will. And it is so important for each and every one of us who love this place, who are involved with this place, who work for this place, or volunteer at this place, or who just attend the services. I am asking all of us to hold in our heart and mind that not only will we go onward, we will go onward and upward. That's our choice to make. And what it will take for us is observing our own minds. Thoughts come through. I actually had a group of people at my church when I retired. I love being an open-faced sandwich because it inspires people in my field to be an open-faced sandwich back with me. Like, I've had people say, I can't believe in your small town. I can't believe what some people have said to you, some of the racist or homophobic remarks that have just been said to your face. I can't imagine people saying that to your face. And I said, I'm an open invitation to say whatever you want to say. I'm an open-faced sandwich. They see me saying anything that comes to my mind, and it allows them to say what comes to their mind. And quite frankly, I'm so grateful that they are willing to say stuff to me, to my face, rather than behind my back. I'm grateful for that. So when I retired from Hope Church, at some point I had a group of people volunteer to come and meet me, I guess, in some sort of a confession that they were doing. This is months after I retired, and the church was getting itself together, and it was starting to do the upward, the onward and upward move. And I had this group of people come and say, we need to tell you that when you announced your retirement and it became clear that you were retiring, we actually, if we're going to tell the truth about it, we actually prayed that the church would fail with you gone, so that you would hear about its failure and maybe come back to rescue it. Because you got here in the first place because your dad died and the church got so small that they said, if Carlos moves from Florida, if him and Johnny move here and take over the church, we'll keep the doors open, but if they don't come, we won't. And so we thought, if you leave, we pray that it fails. And they thought, is that crazy? Like, does that make us bad people? And I said, no, it makes you human. You know, most people would not have scheduled a meeting with me to tell me. But trust me, you weren't the only people sitting there. And some people are not honest enough to let what they're really thinking, the thought behind the thought behind the thought, like actually get expressed. So some people can sit in that congregation being very, very sad or feeling heartbroken or feeling abandoned by me. And they might not even have it rise to a conscious level, I hope this thing fails. It might not become conscious. But there are other thoughts that are conscious, like, I don't even think this is going to be any good without Carlos. I don't know, what are we going to do, and who's going to take over, and blah, 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 blah. So onward and upward is a big deal. And if all of us hold that as our goal, the song that was just sung, The Best Is Yet to Come, you know, the best is yet to come if we allow it, if we determine it, if we choose it, the best is yet to come. If we allow it, determine it, and choose it, there's no limit to the best that is yet to come. Today I was thinking about the different times, like when I actually have not been happy to hear my own heartbeat. The moments in my life where the sadness, the devastation, the loss, the depression was so deep that hearing my heartbeat wasn't fun, because its beating meant I ain't done with this. I gotta keep on keeping on. That daggone thing is still beating. That means I'm still living, which means I still have to choose life every day with every breath. But I'm glad the beat did keep going on. The people who were worried that the church I was the pastor of was going to die didn't have their worry come true. I passed the torch on, as many of you know, to my sister Crystal, poor child had been my assistant for 20 years. Oh, that has to be so painful. To be my assistant for 20 years. And to go, oh my God, he is showing no signs of slowing down. No signs of stopping. No conversations about when, if ever, I will get my turn to be the pastor. So she had her turn, and like I said, some people thought that the beat would not go on, but the beat did go on. And then, as many of you know in this room, right at about 11 months ago, it was 11 months, 2 days, on the 27th of February, it would have been when my sister went into a coma. Her death date is stated as like April 2nd or 3rd, but the truth is on the 27th, I believe, of March, she expired. She was just in a coma for several days with people praying that they might have a miracle and that she might continue to live. So right at about 11 months ago, she took her last breath. And once again, the church did the same thing. Carlos, now that she's gone, at least, will you come back? I am there once a month, but they were trying to, can you come back more on a full-time level, at least for a year? Could you schedule, you know, yourself to do that? But I didn't, and the beat kept going on. And what I started noticing was there was all this new life that was happening without me there. There were people who had been just sitting down, who stepped forward. They stepped up to the plate. They started doing all this stuff. The volunteer group just became so big. I was blown away every time I looked in the newspaper to see what the church was doing. Every time I visited, there was all this new life and excitement. And I inside went, thank you, God, that I knew when it was time to step away. Look at all that was waiting to come forth. When she took her last breath 11 months ago, the church went through it again. Oh, my God, we have just gone through this 7 years ago or 8 years ago with Carlos, and now how are we going to survive without Pastor Crystal? And then one of my sisters came, and she said, you know, we only have one minister here at the church, and I'm thinking about going through an ordination process because I don't know how a church can happen without a senior minister in place. And I'm going, it can happen without that. And so that's what they're doing. I told Britt, that little church I had is flourishing on all kinds of levels beyond how it did when I was there. Because there are a lot more people than just Reverend Crystal going, an assistant for 20 years. When do I get my turn? The Spirit in each of us is waiting to step forth, and sometimes there's just no space for it. Sometimes when a choir loses 3 or 4 of its best voices and doesn't know how it's going to get along with that, well, y'all's choir is so big, y'all would have to lose. Oh, okay, let's say this choir loses 15 of its best voices. And then you wonder, oh my God, who's going to replace that? Not knowing that some little shy people who barely even sing Use Me are carrying a voice inside them that is just waiting to step up and to do their thing. The beat always goes on. It always goes on. The church that I speak at in Boston, I've been there for about 3 years now. There is no senior minister at that church. There is a team of people that they bring in. I am there 2 Sundays out of the month. A friend of mine, Reverend Ed Tomlinson, he is there twice a month or once a month. But it's a team of people. And initially, when I got there, they were so afraid that the church would not survive without immediately putting somebody in place as the senior minister. And they identified that someone as being me. And after retiring from being a pastor for 20 years, you can bet your bottom dollar the last thing I was looking for was to become the senior in charge minister of any other church. This is what I like to do. I like to have Britt and Laverne and the committees and the board. I like to have them figure out all the stuff that needs to be figured out. How's people going to get paid, and how's this going to happen, and how's that, and who's doing the advertising? I did that stuff for 20 years. I like what I do now, which is love people, come in and talk, hug up and jet. Oh, I just love you so much. Oh, heart-to-heart hug, peace. That's what God wants for me right now. And so I am so grateful that to know that once a month I will have the privilege of being with you all as we continue to move onward and upward, as we continue to realize that the beat goes on. It's the heartbeat of life itself. It's the heartbeat of faith itself. It's the heartbeat of joy itself, beating in us, telling us we are alive, and while you are alive, please be alive. My daddy said some people are born one day, and 80 years later they die, and in between, they never lived. I don't want to be one of those persons. I got to tell you, when I talk about not liking to hear my heartbeat or crawling out of the bed, I do want you to know that that is historical. I'm telling you about something that occurred in my life at least 25 years ago. For 25 years at least, I have been consistently grateful to be alive through every change, through every loss, through every trial, and through every tribulation. And so thank you for being who you are. Thank you for loving me as you do. I wanted to really come here today. I had two thoughts, which one thing was to just make sure that we are all on the same page with our love for Unity of New York, that we're on our same page of bringing the very best of who we are to this ministry, that we are on the same page of blessing Paul, not just with his send-off service that last Sunday, but to know that Paul is entering into virgin territory, and he went there by himself. He was alone sitting by the pool in a brand new place, in a brand new city, a brand new town, where he intends to begin a brand new ministry. If you have been blessed by Paul over the last 15 years or more, then make sure you hold him in the light every day in every way. What he is doing is a big deal. You see, when I left, I didn't leave and go someplace on my own, by myself. One of the places I came was here. But I was already pretty much established here. He is stepped off the edge of his world, trusting, believing that he will be able to fly. Whatever dreams he holds for his new ministry, want for him the very best. Everything you love about Unity of New York, want that for him and his new ministry, if he does desire it. You know, he might, like I told you, what I don't want. Pray that he finds out exactly what he wants, that he goes for it, and that he gets it. It is only by our willingness to bless so-called others that we ourselves can keep our blessings. It is only by our willingness to periodically applaud yourself. That's what I said. When you look at your own autobiography, applaud yourself. Hug yourself sometime. Remind yourself the next time you're going through a challenge that you've already been through countless challenges. And what ain't killed you has made you strong. So let's stand fast in the liberty with which we have been set free. And let us be no more ever again, to the best of our ability, entangled in the yoke of bondage. Bondage to thoughts of defeat. Bondage to an erroneous idea that it is possible for something to go wrong. In 1980, Johnny and I visited Louise Hay's circle. It was her circle for people with HIV positive and AIDS. They began with a song, and they ended with a song. And the song said, "Doors closing, doors opening. Doors closing, doors opening. I am safe. It's only change. I am safe. It's only change." And then they tweaked the lyric in one spot the next time through. They said, "Doors closing, doors opening. Doors closing, I am opening. I am safe. It's only change. I am safe. It's only change." Thank you for listening.
Carlos, Carlos. Some of you have heard this before. When you've come to the edge of all the light you know and are about to step off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing one of two things will happen. You will either be given something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly. And as Carlos just reminded us, we see Paul flying. He's created a space for us to fly. So onward and upward. Thank you, Carlos. Onward, upward, and blessed. I'm so blessed. So blessed, so blessed, so grateful for all that I have, for all that I am, for all that God is. So blessed, so blessed, so blessed. Let's know this together in song. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful, I am so blessed for all that I am. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful. All that God is, I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that God is, I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful.
We are so blessed for all that we are, all that we have, and all that God is. It It is a blessing to be here right now. And as we prepare ourselves for meditation, allow the chair to support you. Free your laps if possible. And just settle into the comfort of knowing that in this now moment, all is well. Whatever you encountered before you got here this morning, whatever concern was in your mind, whatever prayer was weighing on your heart, what a gift it is to know that in this now moment we have the opportunity to see any challenge as an opportunity to dig our heels in and choose to remember our truth, that we have been divinely created in the image and likeness of our Creator. God is good, our first principle. And being made in the image of and likeness of our Creator, we are in turn good. Good and blessed with the power, the capabilities, the faculties, the ability to stand rooted in our faith, that we live in an abundant universe, one that supports us, one that feeds us, one that blesses us to be in a land of infinite possibility. And that with a change in our thinking, we can choose life. We can choose to live from our inside out. We can choose to live based on truth that we have been born into this life with all the capability required to live our best life. With all the capability to bring into our lives and manifest through faith in our oneness with our Creator, through faith in the knowing that all things indeed are heart's desires may be are possible when we claim it is so. It is our faith born in us that we can do anything we set our mind to. The faith that is born in us through the power of imagination, that we can dream our dream, have and hold our vision, and put feet to that desire through the power that is within. And anytime we have a doubt, and there will be doubts, we can choose to remember that that too is temporary. We always have faith, all the faith that's required. It is for us to choose to remember, to point our faith in the direction of possibility, in the direction of unlimited abundance, in the direction of unfailing and unconditional love that birthed us here. When we remember that truth, we can know within our very being, in a moment of silence, that yes, all things are possible, that yes, I have all that I require to live and to create the life I desire, that yes, I am totally supported by this abundant universe. We can rest in that assurance in a moment of silence and know the possibilities are endless. What a gift it is to know that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we can begin again. We can remember that we are not alone. We can remember that we can rely on the divine intelligence that is birthed in us to know what to do and how to do it and what to say and when to say it. Call on our inner power to be all that we have been blessed and born here to be. And know that through it all, with each step that we take, that the love that is spirit, pure, unconditional, is given freely. We can bask in that knowing and give thanks for that truth. And as we return to this now moment in this sanctuary of safety, this safe haven that we have come together to create, to remember who and whose we are, from a deep space of gratitude, we say thank you, and thank you. And so it is.
Good afternoon and happy Sunday.